the words of my mouth and meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, St. Stephen, Deacon and Martyr Day, I'm calling the first deacon and martyr, it was written by Archbishop John T. Calhoun. But we never heard this one. The name Stephen comes from the Greek word Stephanos, which means crown. Jesus says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Saint Stephen was indeed faithful unto death. He is the first martyr, the first human being to choose to die rather than to deny Jesus. It is a remarkable thing that the church calendar catapults us from the sublime joy of Christmas into the contemplation of the very next day of a man having his head beaten in with rocks. But there are imitations of violent death even in the cozy manger scene itself. The swaddling clothes in which the Blessed Virgin wraps her baby son prefigure the shroud of his burial. In about a week and a half, the wise men will bring the baby myrrh, which is a spice used to anoint corpses. Saint Stephen appears first in the book of Acts, which Luke wrote. We don't know whether Stephen followed Jesus during his earthly ministry. A squabble developed in the young church at Jerusalem over the distribution of money to help support widows. The apostles, the first bishops, decided that they should not take time away from preaching and praying to solve this administrative problem. They set up a second order of ministers in the church to do it. These ministers are called deacons, helpers, waiters. The apostles said the deacons had to be of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. The church selected seven men to fill the office. The first of the seven is Stephen, described as a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. The apostles prayed over the seven and laid their hands upon them, and so created the second order of the church's ministry. While the story gives me a chance, let me remind you that one aspect of our identity as Anglicans is that we maintain the Catholic ordering of the ministry. That involves three orders: bishops, priests, and deacons. The bishops are the successors to the apostles. The order of deacons begins with Saint Stephen and his six cohorts. In the middle order, the priesthood or presbyterate developed in the late 1st and early 2nd centuries as a function delegated by the bishop. The threefold ministry is biblical, and it is what was followed by all Christians in the first 15 centuries of the church's existence. It continues to be a practice of the vast majority of Christendom. The threefold Catholic ministry is not something some pope cooked up in the Dark Ages. It comes to us directly from Jesus himself. According to Acts, splitting up ministerial responsibility proved to be a good idea. The word of God increased, church membership grew, and a large number of priests of the Jewish temple became Christians. St. Luke also reports, "Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." But certain Jews argued with Stephen's teaching, and when they could not beat him in debate, they paid people to lie. The liar said Stephen was a blasphemer, and that he had said that Jesus was going to come down out of the sky to tear down the temple and change all the rules and custom the Jews had got from Moses. It is clear that St. Luke wants to make St. Stephen seem as much like Jesus as possible. He is full of faith and miraculous power. The Jews debate him, but when he frustrates them with his amazing ability to argue, they conspire to have him killed, and they trump up charges of blasphemy to get him indicted before the Jewish council. St. Luke says that as Stephen gave his testimony, the onlookers saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Stephen did not try to ingratiate himself with his judges. Instead, he did a quick overview of the history of God's chosen people. What he said sounds much like what Jesus says in today's gospel. Every time God sends his people a man with a message, they kill him. Stephen concludes his speech with these damning words: "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." It was bad enough that you killed the prophets, but now you have even gone beyond that. You have betrayed and murdered God's only Son. St. Luke reports, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth." Stephen looked up into the sky, and he told them he was looking right at Jesus, who was standing next to God. The people screamed in rage, stopped up their ears, pushed Stephen outside the walls of the city, and began to beat out his brains with rocks. As all this was happening, St. Luke tells us, Stephen was calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said, this, he fell asleep. St. Stephen died, just as Jesus died, commending himself to God and forgiving the people who were executing him. The martyrdom of St. Stephen proved at least two things. Jesus' power remained in the church, even though he went back to heaven, and people were willing to die rather than deny him. Like him, with pardon on his tongue, in midst of mortal pain, he prayed for them that did the wrong. Who follows in his train? And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as this most justly due, O might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen.